Now, one of the great British traditions at Christmas, at some point during your Christmas meal, is to pull a Christmas cracker, isn't it? Usually before the food arrives, so you don't end up getting lots of cardboard in your gravy and things like that. So who's ever pulled a Christmas cracker? Stick your hands up. I reckon most people in here this morning have probably pulled a Christmas cracker. Is there anyone who hasn't yet? I know there's a few overseas students in. Do we pull crackers overseas at all? Is that part of your Christmas celebrations? No? No, so there's a few. Well, try it this year. Now, while you're in England, try pulling a Christmas cracker at Christmas time. Because it's a traditional thing to do, isn't it? Around the Christmas dinner table at Christmas. Well, this morning I brought with me several Christmas crackers. And I want to use them to help us to understand the Christmas story a little bit better, to understand what it's really all about. Now, what kind of things do you traditionally find in a Christmas cracker? Andrew?
Sweet.
Just one? Sweet, okay. Yeah, we might find a sweet, yeah.
A shoehorn.
A shoehorn, so a gift, yeah, sweet, shoehorn, kind of gift. You do actually find, I have had a shoehorn in one. Yep. A mirror, yeah. At the back? A key ring. Okay, so we've got the gift idea. So we find a gift in there. What else do we find in there? Yep. Yes, a joke and some hats as well, don't we? So we find a gift, and we've mentioned lots of different types of gifts there. We find a joke, and we also find a hat. Three different things we usually find in Christmas crackers. Okay, well, I've got some Christmas crackers in here, so who is going to help me try and find out what is in this first Christmas cracker? Okay, well, let's have Guy first of all, and we'll have Andrew as well. There'll be some more later, so come up the steps, guys. Now, do you know what you're doing when you do this?
Yeah.
If you stand this side, Guy. Okay, right. Just a minute, on the count of three, yeah? Okay. One, it's going to bang, yeah? Okay, so be aware of that. People, you might need to put your hands over your ears. Okay, two, you ready for this? Three. All right. Oh, they went flying, didn't they? There's three gifts here. Do you want to take one each? What do you reckon? There's a puzzle in there.
Yeah.
You might want to. Yeah, okay. Do you want me to take the cardboard? You don't really want that, do you?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so in that one, we found a gift. Thanks, guys. You can go and sit back down. Let me get my doobry. There we are. A gift is the first thing that we find in a Christmas cracker. And now, the gifts that we usually get in a Christmas cracker, they're pretty cheap, aren't they? And we've already mentioned lots of different Christmas gifts that we could possibly get. A shoehorn, a mirror, and different things like that. And they are usually things like that, aren't they? Plastic compasses, key rings, playing cards. And they're not usually things that last very long, are they? Instead, that is unless you go to somewhere like Harrods or a posh shop like that. Because I've heard that in Harrods, they have these Christmas crackers which contain gifts like MP3 players or crystal encrusted earrings or a brand new leather wallet. They have some really pucker gifts in there. Mind you, when you're paying £100 per cracker, £100 per cracker, you'd expect that kind of gift, wouldn't you? So in a cracker, we usually find a gift. And depending on how much you pay for it, depends on the type of gift that you get inside. And did you know that at the heart of it, Christmas is really all about God giving each one of us a gift? And this gift was far more important than a plastic key ring or a crystal encrusted earring. It was far more valuable than that. Because on that first Christmas, God gave us the very best gift that he could. He gave us the very best gift that we could ever receive. He gave us his very own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I wonder how you would react if you were to receive a gift from the Queen this Christmas. Just imagine, for instance, that you were to go downstairs on Christmas morning and you were to look under the tree and there was a gift from the Queen. I wonder what your reaction would be to that. Well, I reckon you'd be absolutely shocked, wouldn't you? You'd be absolutely surprised. You'd think to yourself, well, who am I among all these millions of people in this country to receive a gift from the Queen? Who am I? I'm sure that we'd all be genuinely amazed, wouldn't we, if we received a gift from her. Because after all, she is the Queen of England. She's someone who's pretty important, isn't she? Someone who we wouldn't actually expect to receive a gift from. And yet, as we said a moment ago, God, who is the creator of the whole universe, he's created everything we see around us, including ourselves. He has given us each a personal gift. In fact, he's given us the ultimate gift. As we said, he's given us his gift of his son. And that is far more important and far more valuable than a present that we might receive from someone like the Queen. God has given us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So why has God given us this gift? Why did he send his son? Well, John's gospel puts it like this. It says there, "For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life." And that's a fantastic verse. If you don't know any Bible verses, then this is one to really grab hold on, really memorize. Shall we all say it together? "For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not die, but have eternal life." And it says elsewhere, in another verse, this: "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So there we see it. The gift of God is eternal life. That is what God offers us. And you see, the Bible tells us that every human being, whether we're young or old, you know, we all have a problem. And that problem, as that says, is sin. Sin is the stuff that we do that doesn't please God. It's those attitudes we have, those thoughts we might have, those actions. It might be being nasty to your brother and sister. It might be being greedy and wanting what other people have. It might be lying. It might be just ignoring God and not letting him be part of your life. And all these things are called sin, and they all hurt God. And this sin separates us from him. And the only way that we can be forgiven and enjoy an everlasting relationship with our Creator again, as these verses tell us, is to believe in Jesus. We need to accept the gift that God has given us. But you know, the sad thing is that many people refuse to accept this free gift from God. Now, perhaps it's because we love our sin more than we love our Creator. Or perhaps it's simply because we have never genuinely heard this good news before, that we can be forgiven. And God offers us this gift of forgiveness. Well, if either of these describe you, then God's message to you this Christmas is: don't leave this gift unopened for another year. Instead, receive Jesus into your heart and into your life. And he promises to save you from your sin. He promises to give you a hope and a future, not just in this life, but in the life to come. That is the good news of Christmas. What an incredible gift God has given us. Well, it's time to open our second cracker, so I'm going to need another couple of volunteers to come up the front. Okay, and we'll have at the back. Great. There's one more cracker to go up in a moment. We'll come up. We'll come to you in a minute, Tommy. Great. Okay, up the front you two come. Let's find another one in here. All right, you know how to do this?
Yep.
Seen it done before? Okay, if you stand that side. Luke. Okay, so after three, what do we reckon is going to be in here? What do you reckon?
A paper clip,
okay.
Didn't have a clue.
You haven't got a clue. Okay, well, we'll see, shall we? Fair answer. On your marks. Get set. Go. Oh, I'm sure you'll share what's ever in there, Luke. There might be one or two others in there. Now, you do have to wear these. This was one of the things. Ah, look at that. Right, okay, so we got paper hats. Look, paper hats that look a bit like, well, they look a bit like crowns, don't they? And as it's Christmas, we'll wear these, shall we? Thank you, guys. You can go and sit back down. I'll put mine on as well. Fantastic. So we have here a crown, don't we? A paper hat. Now, we usually wear these colourful hats, don't we, around the Christmas table while we're eating our Christmas dinner. And we all tend to look a bit daft together, don't we? I must admit, I'm usually the person who, at the end of the meal, still got their hat on, and everyone else has long since taken theirs off. I don't know whether anyone else has had that experience. A few knowing nods. Yes. As we said, these paper hats are a bit like a crown, aren't they? Now, who wears a crown? Who usually wears a crown? We do at Christmas, but who usually wears a crown? Johnny? Yes, that's right. Yeah, kings and queens usually, even real kings and queens, not only the ones in the cartoons, but even real kings and queens, certainly sometimes wear crowns, don't they? Now, in the Bible passage that Beth read to us a moment ago, which can be found in the book of Matthew, we heard about two particular kings, didn't we? We heard about King Herod, and the other one was called King Jesus. And we heard that as the wise men followed the star, they came to the capital city of Jerusalem. And they spoke to King Herod and they asked him where they might find the one born King of the Jews. In other words, they were asking Herod where they might find King Jesus. Now, King Herod, as you can imagine, was a bit upset and angry about this particular request because he thought that he was King of the Jews. He didn't realise that there was anybody else, and so he took the news of another king as a bit of a threat to his own throne. And because of that, he planned to find out where Jesus was and get rid of him. King Herod, you see, he was a bad king, whereas Jesus, King Jesus, is a good king. In fact, Jesus is unlike any other individual who has ever lived. Now, earlier this year, we were all made aware, weren't we, of the birth of a baby boy to William and Kate Windsor. You couldn't exactly miss it, could you? There were TV cameras camped outside that London hospital for what seemed like weeks on end. Now, can anyone remember what the baby's name was? Was it Billy, Bob? What do you reckon at the back?
George.
That's right, it was George, wasn't it? Baby George. Now, even though a baby George came from a royal family, people didn't automatically call him King George, did they? What title was he given? What title was he given?
Prince.
That's right, they called him Prince George. And that's partly, of course, because his great-grandmother is still on the throne. But you know, Jesus, he is totally different. He is totally unique because Jesus was actually born a king. And so this crown, which we find in our Christmas cracker, reminds us that that God sent Jesus to be a king, and that he is a king. You know, the fact is that Jesus is in charge of absolutely everything, because, as we said earlier, he created it all. He created you and I, and so he deserves to be our king. Now, you know, when those men, who Beth spoke about earlier in the Bible reading, when they eventually found Jesus, they found him actually in a house, didn't they? Because by this stage, Jesus was probably a toddler. He'd grown up a little bit. They didn't find him in the stable, as we often imagine. But the first thing we read about these wise men, what they did when they came to this house, is that they bowed down and they worshipped Jesus, didn't they? Now, I don't know about you, but I've never bowed down and worshipped a toddler before. I've never done it with Ellie. I've never done it with anyone else. I don't think anyone else in here has either. As lovely as they are, we don't bow down, do we, to toddlers? But these wise men did. When they arrived at this house, they bowed down, they fell on their knees, and they worshipped him. And they did that to Jesus because he is unique. Jesus is God's son. He is king of the whole world. And you know what? He longs to be your Lord and Saviour. He longs to guide and to direct your life. And he deserves to, doesn't he? Because he is our maker. He is our creator. And he ultimately knows what's best for each one of us. Okay, well, we are on our final cracker. You probably can guess what's inside, but just in case, we'll have to pull it, won't we? So... Where's Tommy? Tommy's going to come up, and then we'll have Kess here. Maybe next time. Right, okay. Seen this done before, haven't you? What do you reckon's going to be in it?
I don't know.
Okay, let's have a look. Give it a good pull. 1, 2, 3. Well done. Okay. Is there anything in it? I hope there is. Oh, yes, there is. There's some jokes, okay? Now, can you read that out, Tommy? Yeah, let me come nearer my microphone. It says, or do you want me to read it? It says, what sort of ball doesn't bounce? A snowball, okay? Can you read that one, Kessia?
How do you make gold soup?
How do you make gold soup?
Put 9 carrots in it.
Put 9 carrots in it. Oh, dear. Okay, and here's one. Here's another one. It says, why is a horse like a cricket match? Because they get stopped by the rain. Oh, dear. Stop. Okay, thank you very much. You can keep those jokes. Tell them to your friends and family over the dinner table today, Sunday lunch. We won't mention cricket, especially if there are any Australians in the house. It was last week, but... Now, it's good to have a bit of a laugh, isn't it? Especially at this time of year when we tend to spend a little bit more time with our family and friends. But, you know, the story of Christmas itself is really no joke. Now, these events really did take place just over 2,000 years ago. Jesus really was born of a virgin. He did live and he did die and he then rose again. And there's plenty of evidence to prove this. So the Christmas story isn't just some man-made fairy tale, as many people imagine. It is actually based on historical facts. But as well as that, this last object that we find in a Christmas cracker, it also reminds us that Jesus came to bring us joy. He came to bring us real joy. Now, jokes, they make us laugh, don't they? They make us happy, if only for a moment or two, depending on how good they are. Certainly the ones you find in a Christmas cracker aren't all that great, are they, sometimes? But God, he came to bring us everlasting joy. And the great thing is that even when we face difficult times in our lives, then Jesus helps us to make sense of it all. So he provides us with a deep down joy, not just an occasional laugh, but a deep down joy. In fact, Jesus is really the only person who can make us truly joyful. And so following him and trusting him is the most fantastic thing that you could ever do. So this Christmas, as you pull a Christmas cracker over lunch, just remember what we've learnt this morning. Those things that it tells us about Jesus, that Jesus, first of all, is God's gift to us, which, if received properly, means that we can be forgiven and have eternal life. Then the crown, which reminds us that Jesus is King of the world and that he wants to be King of our lives too. And then lastly, the joke, which shows us that the Christmas story isn't made up. It's not a fairy tale, but that Jesus really has come in order to bring us great joy, if only we would trust him.